Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
This is a good day to Grenada, Caracou, Pity Martin, and the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, wherever you are. I am Stanford Simon. It's a great joy to be with you once again. Welcome to Inside Finance. And as usual, you know, I find somebody who is interested. Mr. Mike Sylvester always sends somebody for me who is very good. We talked property tax the last time that we were here. And believe it or not, he is in the studio with me today. And I look forward in talking with him about what is happening within the Ministry of Finance. You know, he's the boss since Mr. Timothy Antoine left. He now carried the load on his shoulder. And I'm sure we have a lot to talk about. And how is the Ministry of Finance doing? Good day to you, Mr. Mike Sylvester.
Thank you, Pastor Simon, and of course, greetings to you and all our listeners home and abroad who are tuned in to this program. It is, of course, a pleasure to be here once again to share the work of the Ministry of Finance.
Oh boy, you have a nice smile on your face. You don't look stressed at all. It means that you've been ready for the job. So how are things going?
Well, you know, it's 4 months and some, to be exact, since I assumed the position of Permanent Secretary, and I will answer you as I did back in February when we had a similar conversation. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. The transition, in my view, has been relatively seamless. We have, in fact, continued to hit our targets. We have continued to deliver results as a ministry, as in the recent successful review by the IMF board of Grenada's program, and many other such results. Again, I credit this to an excellent former boss, Mr. Timothy Antoine, who is now governor of the Central Bank, as you know, and of course the support and general direction of the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance and the Cabinet. We cannot, of course, forget our sister ministries and departments who have been supporting our work in delivering the results that we as a ministry. So we are settling down nicely.
The thing is, I guess, with so much of ministry, because you have a big staff.
Yes.
How many persons do you have?
We have over 400 persons.
Right. And you having now to acquaint yourself, although you're in the Ministry of Finance, but now in the leadership position, you had to acquaint yourself with each department and try to get on top of things. That must have been a challenge for you.
Well, no. I mean, I've been around for quite a while, as I've said, and you know, we more or less been I'm familiar with the staff. I must, of course, place on record that I'm privileged to lead a very good team of persons. They are indeed a committed bunch. And we have continued, for instance, to work to encourage them, to motivate them and so on, so that we can move forward. So it's a good team that I have, and I think that is important in terms of the results that we are seeing, and it's really their results because they are the ones who have been pushing.
So what would you say about the adjustment and the support that you're getting from your departments?
Well, we have been making incremental changes as we go along in terms of our systems and processes and some HR changes as well, with a view to improving our efficiency and effectiveness. And as I've said before, there is not going to be any major structural changes at this stage. By and large, we have a good foundation, which we are building on. Of course, as with any transition, there are some issues. I believe that people are testing me, trying to see what I'm made of. But by and large, I have received a tremendous support. We recently, for instance, had an auction. To recover outstanding tax.
Well, I think I bought two roller tape and a couple of other things at a very good price.
Right. Recover outstanding taxes from a taxpayer. And I mean, you can see the enthusiasm, the commitment from the staff as they go about their work and so on. Mm. So I think, as I said, the results are really their results, you know, and whatever failings, you know, I take full responsibility, but it's a really good team that we're working with. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are you adjusting with the Prime Minister? I mean, now you're speaking directly to him, I guess, every day, whether you just maybe go to a meeting and sit and listen. Now you are the man. How are you? I mean, it's a relationship that has to be built. How is that going?
Well, so far, so good. I think we have a good understanding. I try my best to provide honest advice and so on. And so I think he has given me, he has shown quite a, his confidence in me has grown, I believe, and so I want to place on record my appreciation for the confidence that has been shown in me continuously, and I think it bodes well for you know, continued work and so on, and continued progress.
Okay. Now, the big one, and for sure we have spent a lot of time on, I said before, we are in our final year of the homegrown program, and I see that recently the IMF has given the performance of the program a very favorable review. Tell us about the recent achievement, and if you could bring us back a bit, because I guess some persons may not quite understand if they don't know. What are some of the things you have gone through a little bit to get to where we are? Just bringing us up to speed.
Right. Well, it's a journey that started in 2014, as you will recall. The country was going through some serious difficulties in terms of basically trying to meet our commitments at the fiscal level. We also were experiencing a serious decline in terms of economic activity and so on. Since then, we have had 4 successful reviews. The last one, of course, on the 18th of May. And I think it's a major achievement. I don't think persons really understand the significance of this achievement. You know, there's always a tendency for bad news to make the wrongs much faster than good news, you know?
Always.
In fact, I have a friend that he would gloat to me about Grenada having one of the highest unemployment rates in the English-speaking Caribbean. But not the fact that the unemployment rate, although high, unacceptably so, has been on the decline in recent years, you know? Youth unemployment in particular, for instance, would have declined by more than 11% since 2013. So we have seen significant improvements in terms of unemployment and unemployment generation and so on. Nor, for instance, the fact that we have been commended regionally and internationally for the strong record of implementation progress under the homegrown program. Those are important results, but you don't hear
much of it,
right? But that aside, I want to basically get back to the substantive point and the importance of the achievement to us. Grenada has had its 4th successful review on the 18th of May, as I indicated. This has triggered an additional disbursement from the IMF of around 8 million EC, bringing the total disbursement from the IMF alone to around $38 million that we've gotten, right? Since the start of the program in 2014, we have, in fact, received in excess of $189 million from our regional international partners. So we're talking about the World Bank, the IMF, the EU, and so on, who have supported our efforts since the start of the program. And of course, this is very important in helping us finance the reforms that we are undertaking, helping us meet our fundamental commitments, for instance, including back pay and some of the other things that we have to pay, and also to reduce our unpaid claims at the Treasury. You would recall, for instance, that at the end of 2015, we got the unpaid claims over 60 days to zero, and we have, in fact, maintained that since that time.
So my listeners, just for a bit, go back and just tell us where we were when it comes to unpaid claims. Where were we when you started the homegrown program?
Right. So we started in excess of 100 million in terms of unpaid claims. Now, the over 60 days would have been around 75% of this on a regular basis. Yeah. So you're talking about 75 million over 60 days in terms of unpaid claims, and we have gotten that now down to zero. So you still have unpaid claims in the Treasury, because you have, when I say that are under 60 days. So if a person, for instance, government gets goods from a particular supplier, you have a time to pay. You know, they usually give you whether it's 30 days or whatever. So that you still have in the system as general unpaid claims. But claims over 60 days that would have been in the system 9 months on, you wouldn't find any of these things, because we have been making a consistent effort to manage that process as we go along.
Wow. And also, you had an overdraft that you were running every month.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in fact, for the last couple of months, we have not been even using overdrafts. The bank will tell you that we don't have any overdraft facility.
But you don't have?
The government. Well, we have access to, but we haven't been using it. We haven't had to use it.
Hold on a minute. Government have the overdraft facility and they're not used because they don't have reason to?
Well, we don't have reason to. But you have...
It means that your collection is good then.
Well, that's the point. But in the month of May, however, we had to use the overdraft because we had to make our first payment on our restructured bond, right? Oh, okay. And that was a significant payment. And so we had to for the very first time dip into overdraft for that purpose. But we are for the months January, February, March, and so on. We have had the facility there, but we haven't had the cause to use it because we are basically.
You were 18 million last year, 2014, 2015. Now you're saying that you don't have to use that facility which you once had. I mean, every month.
The overdraft is different from the 18 million we talked about was a gap, not the overdraft facility. Yeah, we have to be clear on this.
Okay, so clarify that, because if I'm getting it wrong, it means other people may be getting it wrong too. Just clarify that then.
Right. The overdraft, I mean, we have facility with the banks.
Right.
Right. So we have with all the banks, there is a limit, and the law gives us up to 60 million, I think. I have to double check, because I think there was a recent change to increase that figure. Not recent, but a change to increase that figure some time back. But we have access to that in the bank. Mm-hmm. Now, the bank, by law, the bank may or may not give you 60 million, as an example. On the 18 million, when we started, we had a gap where our revenues were behind or short by 18 million vis-a-vis what our expenditure was.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been doing is basically closing this gap as we go forward by first of all increasing our revenues, and of course maintaining our expenditure or trying to increase the efficiency of our expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a stage at the end of last year, for instance, that would have been reduced significantly, right? And in fact, in the first half of last year, we were basically down to 1 million per month in terms of overdraft, and so we basically it's a work in progress.
Right.
Now, as I said, in a particular month, you may find that, as it was in the month of May, right? Because we had made a big payment on the restructured bond, that you went into overdraft. But next month, or the month before, we basically were operating outside of our overdraft facility, which is a significant.
Congratulations to you, Mike, and to your team. You all are doing extremely well in managing the country's finances better, would we say?
Well, we have been for a while, so it's not just me. I mean,
well, your team.
We have been since the start of the program. Doing very well in terms of our management of the finances and so on. Yeah.
Right. So the IMF, with its report that it has given, talk to us about that.
Right. So I was making the point that we have just received a recent disbursement.
Mm.
But money aside, the IMF has confirmed in its latest report that the economy is on track to grow positively for the fourth consecutive year in 2016. So you're talking about growth averaging over 4%. Wow. in the last since 2013.
Is that we at highest in the OECS?
We are, in fact, we are up there. Yeah. So we are one of the leading economies, if you want to call it, in terms of growth, right? We are not the highest, but we are up there. Last year, for instance, we had a real growth rate of 4.6%, fueled by agriculture, tourism, and construction. And so these sectors are more or less will feel the benefits of the growth. And that we have to explain this as well, because you may hear a person saying they're not feeling the growth. But if you're in a sector that is not growing, you may not feel it. But if you're in the tourism sector or in the construction sector or those sectors that are experiencing growth, persons will feel that. We feel it there, and of course, the spin-off from that. In addition to that, we are beginning to see that the growth is becoming more broad-based as more and more sectors are contributing.
Coming on board.
Right. Prices is another issue. In general, the prices have been relatively stable, and in fact, we have been experiencing deflation. You know, it was negative inflation on a whole for the last couple of years as on account of the lower energy prices. Now, we also need to clarify that, because you hear persons say that $1 or $100, for instance, would not give me the same level of groceries that I've gotten some years back if I go to the supermarket. But we're talking about general prices. So you have in that basket of goods, of course, you have food, you have fuel, you have energy, all those things. So you right now, what's happening, for instance, on the energy prices with prices falling significantly, prices of your light bills and so on will fall, your gas will fall. So these are reductions. You may have increases in food and some other basic items and so on. But in general, and I think that's the point I want to make, in general, we have had very low or falling prices in Grenada, yeah.
Okay. All right, folks, I'm speaking to Mr. Mike Sylvester, who's the acting permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance. We take a break, we come right back and continue my discussion with him. And we are in the final stage of our homegrown program. I'll ask him about that. And he would give us more information of the Grenada economy and its prospect as we head forward. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon with the acting permanent secretary, Mr. Mike Sylvester. We'll be right back.
Come with your dream to the Grenada Development Bank, and we will find a way to finance it. Whether you want to start a business or refinance an existing project, whether you want a mortgage for house or land, or a loan for a vehicle, or your educational advancement, we have a special to finance your energy conservation overhaul for your home or office. They all come with the lowest interest rates. At the GDB, the People of Grenada Bank, we encourage ideas and we finance dreams. Come into us because the future is yours. The Grenada Development Bank. Empower, transform.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. You're listening to Inside Finance. With me in the studio is Mr. Mike Sylvester, acting permanent secretary within the Ministry of Finance. Mr. Sylvester, so what can we expect as we enter the final stage of the program? Are there any outstanding measures to be implemented?
Well, thank you. Very important question. There is need, of course, for continued commitment, and the government has, in fact, stated publicly that you know they are committed to the successful implementation of the program. We have two remaining reviews, right? One that will cover the period January to June of this year, and one that covers the period July to December of this year. That's all that remains under the program. Now we are in June,
wow.
Right? So it means that the first year, or the first of the two remaining reviews,
it's gone.
We are in a position to assess where we are now.
Oh.
Right, if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay, yes.
Good. So, for the period January to June of this year, that's one of the two remaining reviews that we have to conclude. And our initial assessment is that we are well on track to successfully complete that as well. So, it means that then the one July to December, mm-hmm, is the one that we really have to be concerned about.
That is the final one.
That's the final one. And I say concerned in the sense that it not because there's a problem, but the fact that we are on track at this stage to exceed or outperform the targets under this period, January to June. You know, it augurs well for the end of the final review, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the period July to December. So I think we are basically on track. I mean, I don't see, barring any unforeseen circumstances, right, or anything,
mm-hmm,
I don't see that we have a problem at all in terms of successfully concluding the program. And that of course is an important achievement for us. It means that we are gonna get the additional resources from the fund that we expect. And we are also working, as I said, together with the World Bank and the CDB, and we expect from them as well disbursements and the EU to the tune of over $80 million by the end of this year.
Wow, that's quite,
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
So, can you say what can happen after the program has ended? As you said early on, that we are in the final stage of that. Would some of the measures be reversed? Because we had a number of measures being implemented in this program. Are they all will stay in the program, or there are some that you would be removed as the program comes to an end?
Right. Before I respond to that, I just want to go back to the previous question that you asked,
mm-hmm,
in terms of are there any additional measures?
Right.
Right. Just to make the point that we have taken all the measures so far. Now, what remains is basically the administration or the compliance aspect of it, in other words. we have to, it's an area that we have to work on. Tax compliance, we have to work on improved administration.
Mm-hmm.
And that means persons who are now out of the bracket, we're trying to get them into the bracket. Persons who are not filing properly, we have to ensure that you're filing properly and you're paying your due and so on. So that is where we sort of are focusing our efforts in terms of the program. So there isn't any an additional tax measure, for instance.
To be taken,
right?
So there is no additional.
Right.
Okay.
Good. And in terms of the question, in terms of what happens after the program, a very important question. I guess you're asking, for instance, would the IMF still be around?
Well,
are you
of
asking
course.
Whether government would enter into a successor program and so on?
Are there more measures to come?
Yeah, I would respond it this way. I mean, even if countries do not have IMF program, the IMF usually conduct what is called annual surveillance visits, Article 4 consultations and so on in all of its member countries. And so even if we don't have a program, a successor program, the IMF will be coming here every year to do that assessment of what's happening in the country, right? The decision, of course, to whether to enter into a successor program is one for the cabinet. I mean, I can't speak to
that. That one is politics.
Right? Our responsibility, though, is to advise in this regard. And so we will do so at the appropriate time. Yeah, but the decision is entirely up to the cabinet. And the same applies for the second part of the question. You know, would some of the measures be retained or be removed? You know, I believe that the economic and fiscal situation at that time will be assessed, and that the cabinet will take a decision in terms of how we go forward. Now, just if we have under the Fiscal Responsibility Act, for instance, we have a target of 3.5% of primary balance, right? That is the total revenues and grants minus your total non-interest expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
The target there we have under the Fiscal Responsibility Law is to achieve 3.5% every year going forward. Now, if we are achieving, let's say, 5 or 4%, cabinet may decide to give a break. So they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's up, of course, within their jurisdiction and so on. So I'm saying all this to say that it's a cabinet decision, and our basically job is to advise. And the point I'm making that if we are outperforming the targets under the fiscal responsibility law, that may be something that they probably would consider, but I don't know. Yeah.
So pretty much, so you are saying you don't know what cabinet will do. At the end, cabinet will have to make that decision, what is reversed, what stay in place, and if any changes to be made.
Yeah.
And your responsibility would be to follow the instructions of cabinet.
Well, advise and follow the instructions.
Advise.
Cabinet don't have to take my advice.
Okay, but advise and follow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about Grenada economic prospect for the second half of 2016? As you look at where we've been, you've been through it all, you've seen it a lot, because you have been within the Ministry of Finance for the past how many years?
That's 20 years.
20 years. Mm-hmm. You have seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where we are, how do you see the prospect as we move forward?
Well, the outlook for this year remains broadly positive. So we and as I mentioned before, we are on track to grow positively again this year, right?
Mm.
The IMF project that the economy will grow by 3%. I mean, if you ask the Prime Minister, he'll tell you that he feels that we can grow more optimistically than this figure. For the year so far, the signs have been very positive, and I believe we are on track to achieve at least 3%, I must say. The outturn, for instance, we are seeing, or the numbers that we are seeing on the VAT, which is a very good indicator of what's happening in the country, economic
mm-hmm.
activity. I mean, has been significant, and we have been, in fact, exceeding our VAT targets, which is basically speaking towards
wow.
what is happening, you know, economic.
So on some of the months, you have exceeded your targets.
On the VAT collections.
Wow.
And that is, I mean, we've made, and when we if you go into the details of the VAT itself, it's not arrears, it's not back payments that you're collecting, it's current payments.
Current.
Right? So it paints a very good picture in terms of what is happening, you know. In the economy and so on, and we also have the data for the first 3 months of the year, right? The first quarter, and the numbers, of course, are up from last year in a number of areas, including agriculture, tourism, construction, and so on. So, it paints a very good picture in terms of the outlook for this year, and the medium term. Of course, we have to see where that goes, but we have our projections in terms of growth for the medium term. So, barring any circumstances. Of course, there are risks to the growth. Mm-hmm. And I must mention, for instance, that on the positive side, the low oil prices now is a positive thing. We also have we're looking at tourism. Tourism receipts could be much more than what we anticipate, and then that could be a positive for the growth. For indirect investment, you know, the CBI program is picking up, and you could perhaps have some speed up there. On the downside, though, anything from Zika, natural disaster, you know, right. This thing could turn the whole picture wrong. The focus in terms of natural disaster, for example, the focus for this year is an above normal season. You're talking about 14 named storms, you know, 8 of which could be hurricanes, and 4 of the 8 could be major hurricanes. So that is something that, I mean, God forbid, but that is something that we have to, of course, bear in mind, and that could affect our projections and so on going forward, or the economy by extension. So we need to keep those in mind. Yeah.
As we conclude, just on a lighter note, have you found yourself, you haven't picked up a phone and called the governor and said, I need your thoughts on this or some clarity on that? Have you found yourself to do that yet?
Well, initially I did quite a bit. You know, when the transition just started, I called him a couple of times. I'm calling him a little less now.
Right.
Because I know he's a very busy man. But he has, of course, always kept an open line for me, and I'm happy that, you know, as I said, with his support, that I will continue to do well.
Well, I must say, your confidence in the way that you're doing this interview has been very, very, very a big change. I mean, in terms of you speak very clear and very, very, very bold now. It seems that you have...
Well, thank you very much.
You know, but I think it speaks to the confidence that you had in the position that you have, and now having the responsibility of guiding an organization like the Ministry of Finance working with the Prime Minister, and the changes are coming based on what you're saying here, that the government is doing extremely well, and that is good. Now, what are you going to leave with us? Is there?
Well, just to thank all our listeners and to encourage them to encourage their friends and family and others to listen to the program. We have quite a bit of information that we want to share. I want to especially thank my colleagues at the Ministry of Finance for their continued hard work, the support, the sacrifice. As I said, all the results that we are seeing are their results. We have continued, for instance, to deliver in many areas, and just to name a few, as I mentioned before, the successful completion of the fourth review. We've made progress in our debt restructuring with the remaining creditors and so on that we had. We have tied up many of these agreements pending from last year. We have commenced payments on all our restructured debts, including to the NIS, to the commercial bond holders, Taiwan and others. We have started those payments. We have been paying our wage bill every month. Without a hiccup. We mentioned before the whole overdraft issue, where we are doing so even without overdraft. We have continued our education through this program, which is, again, for us, something that we have as our target. We have met our fiscal targets, as I mentioned. We have continued to support the dialogue at the level of the social partners, and that's something that the Ministry of Finance is engaged in as well. We have maintained, as I mentioned before, the zero balance on the over 60-day unpaid claims. In collaboration with a lot of the ministries and departments, we have helped to move whatever reform agenda the government has. We have worked along with ministries and departments and so on, including in the recent electricity reform. We have been part and parcel of that process as well. We have been seeing some measure of success on the regional government securities market. I mean, we have seen interest rate fallen as low as 3.99%. Right, up down from 6%. So we have been able to lower our interest rate and lower the cost to government in terms of our treasury bill activities at that level. We are continuing our strong oversight of statutory bodies and so on. I mean, we request of GDB and so on, as you know, you'll be in chair there, your quarterly reports, and we monitor and assess what's happening. And so we have a better oversight at that level. And I mean, finally, in my own opinion, I believe that people are generally satisfied with the feedback that they've been getting from the Ministry of Finance. I mean, you deal with the Ministry of Finance, you probably have a view on that.
Yeah.
So I think that bodes well for the things that we are doing and the moves that we are making in trying to move the ministry forward.
I must say, yes, the Ministry of Finance is much more, is warmer now, and much warmer. I mean, in terms of the information that's coming out. I mean, I no longer question it, and if I listen to the radio, I no longer hear people whipping the Ministry of Finance as often as they used to. It means that you're sharing the information, so they have no reason to wonder what the Ministry of Finance is. Like a farmer met me and said, I don't have to know wonder what the Ministry, how they spend my money, yeah, and know how they're spending my money. I think that is good.
Yeah, but I just want to end on a note. I want to also, as I mentioned before, I want to thank the staff, and I want to encourage them, you know, to continue to work hard, and, you know, and to remain committed, honest, fair, professional in the fulfillment of their obligations and responsibilities, you know, as servants of the people. Mm-hmm. You know, I also want to, of course, thank the Prime Minister for the continued confidence and the Cabinet by extension in me. So, you know, I think that bodes well for, you know, all that's happening, and, you know, and we hope to see greater results going forward, yeah.
Wow. Mr. Mike Sylvester, I want to congratulate you on the great work that you're doing and so far. And you are the permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance. And I want to thank you for the opportunity you give to me to sit and talk with you. And continued communication, be having any openness, I think, just as your predecessor, you giving the same courtesy to me to come and sit down and talk to your staff and to be able to do the interview. All right, folks, you've been listening to Mr. Max Sylvester, who is permanent secretary at the Ministry of Finance. We've been talking about what is happening there. Go to our website, sgbcgrenada.com. What is the Ministry of Finance website they go to?
www.gov.gd. That's a government website.
Right, yeah, government site.
Where we have a page. But we are also working on our own website, which we hope to share much more information. And that is a work in progress at this stage.
Okay, great. You heard it yourself. So go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com. This program will be uploaded there. I am Pastor Stanford Simon, thanking you again for being with me. And special thanks again to Mr. Max Sylvester, Acting Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Thank you. Join us here next week at the same time. We'll do this all over again right here on this station. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.